don't know if you remember this, but you reached out to me after I went viral for my speech at the Miami School Board. When I got up there and I was like,
I didn't remember that.
Yeah,
I didn't
so that's
remember,
where
but
we,
now I remember it.
You reached out to me. You were like, yo, I got to get you on my podcast. And like, you know, this is awesome and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then I started following you. And then like, we were just speaking the same language the whole pandemic. Like just so in line with, you know, freedom and
absolutely,
you know,
bro.
All the BS of that was going on. So
that whole thing was a...
Well, we all know now.
It was a ploy.
Freaking scam.
It was a fucking ploy. And it was most in part... And due to because of the hate towards Trump. So
1,000%
they were willing to burn this motherfucker down.
Literally.
Just to say, hey, Trump ain't shit.
Yeah.
You get what I'm
and
saying?
And to make sure that he didn't win.
Well, it was brutal. And I mean, we're dealing with the aftermath now, but I have a feeling that little by little the country has the chickens have come home to roost.
I 100%. I feel like the eyes are opening. Like, people are finally waking up to a certain degree.
Not only are the eyes opening, their fucking wallets are emptying.
You're not lying.
And that's what really moves the fucking needle at the end of the day.
Yeah, when you can't pay your bills, when you can't find a job, when the gas is a fortune, when food's a when eggs cost three times they did, you know, two years ago.
I paid $10 for some pasture-raised fucking eggs, bro.
It's retarded.
I literally just... I got off the phone with my mother yesterday talking about, you know, I'm really thinking about buying a coupe.
Nope. My brother and I just had that conversation. And I think you can get a tax credit too if you have some chickens in the backyard.
I wouldn't doubt it because I know in Georgia, you know, when you're dying, my mom lives in Georgia now.
Okay.
So,
what part?
She's in Demarest. It's about an hour and a half north of Atlanta.
Okay.
Rural. But, you know, you're driving through those and you see every fucking other lot. A ranch has 7-8 cows.
Right.
So I'm at a bar out there one day and I'm like, yo, what's up with the fucking random just 8 cows?
Yeah.
It's a credit. It's a tax. It's a tax write-off.
Exactly.
You get to, you know, a break on your taxes because you claim like you're a dairy farm.
Right.
So I'm, but yeah, back to the chicken thing, man. I'm about to fucking, I looked it up literally. It's, you're talking about 300 eggs per chicken. I'm thinking 6 fucking chickens, one cock.
I've been ordering duck eggs because they're a little bit cheaper and they're also like 50% more nutrition than chicken eggs. And
are they more nutritious?
Yeah, supposedly. I don't know. Don't quote me on that, but they supposedly, if you Google it, then it says 50% more nutrition. So, and they're big, they're like huge.
Yeah,
and I've been eating those. I'll be honest, they're a little bit blander than chicken eggs.
Okay.
But as long as you put a little salt and pepper on there, a little, you know, sprinkle a little cheese, you're good.
Damn, that's what's up, bro.
My son, he's 3 years old, and he eats them with me all the time.
Tears them up.
It can't be that. If a 3-year-old eats it, I always say it should be
fine.
Hell
yeah.
So, well.
This one's a sparkly?
Yes, sir. So this is the-
Are these yours?
This is the official premium water of the Miami Heat and Kaseya Center.
Oh, this guy's a fucking beast.
And this is No Days Off sparkling water. We also have No Days Off
you're a
still
fucking
water.
Beast, bro. This is your own water?
Yes, sir.
Oh, you're killing it,
kiddo. So we launched.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We launched in March. We're in over 200 C-stores. And we'll soon be in Costco and other, you know, other big chains. And, you know, just what I did was I kept looking in the cooler and I was like, we sell all this crap all day long. I have 6 gyms here in Miami. I was like, we should have our own water. And then Liquid Death came out and they kind of invented a new category, right? It was like craft canned waters.
Yeah.
Remember when craft beers came
100%.
Out? 100%. So like a cool way to drink water, you know?
I think I must have bought Liquid Death 3 different times thinking it was a beer.
Right, exactly.
At least 3 times.
Exactly. So that's, you know, we're already kind of getting that today with
that's
ours.
That's what's up, bro.
But we have a positive message. So I feel like, you know, we'll speak to a little bit larger audience. And
when are you gonna get in the fucking pre-workout game?
We're on that too. Yes,
that's
supplements.
Money, you'll kill it
so,
there.
But what I noticed though is like, if you go to like a convenience store, you go to a gym, everything is just full of sugars and caffeine and all
shit,
this stuff. So I was like, let's just do a really good water, you know, and let's start there. So that's where I wanted to start with. And it's really good water.
Fire, bro. Good
really
for you. Good. And it is dope.
All right. So I want to jump into you because I honestly don't
hey,
know.
Hey, what do you mean?
Well,
want to jump into me?
Not from behind or anything, but But I find
I'm a
you.
Top. I'm a top, oh, brother. Okay? I'm a top.
But this is exactly what I'm talking about. You're absolutely hilarious. You're very authentic. Like on, you come across as like you're not trying. It's just who you are. And I love that. I love authenticity when it comes to people. And you're very genuine, very authentic. Your Cuban stuff, I don't speak Spanish, and I still literally die out laughing watching that stuff. I think that is genius, by the way.
Thank you.
And I'm just curious, like, I just want to know, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you came from, how you started, and then we can dive into, like, where you want to go, and let's just, like,
Absolutely.
Learn more about Marcos, so.
That's what's up. I appreciate yeah. you affording me the platform, bro. But I was born and raised here in Miami. I'm a son to Cuban parents. Everybody thinks I was either born in Cuba or Hialeah. Neither. I was born right here in Mercy Hospital, and I was raised in Little Havana.
Okay.
I went to school in Shenandoah, Coral Park. Everybody always thinks I'm from Hialeah and shit. So the majority of my life, I was always an athlete. I played baseball. Till I was 18, I was going to be a major league baseball player, you know, okay. in my head. So I was like a major jock in that sense. The whole comedy thing was never even on the cusp of my horizon. And I think maybe till I was 23, 24, because I played baseball through college.
Where'd you play in college?
So I went my first year to Judson University in Illinois.
Okay.
And got kicked out of that one. And then I ended up in Dubuque University in Iowa. I was a pitcher. After getting kicked out of the second university, I was like, all right, you know, I'm not going to go pro, bro. I'm not going to be a professional baseball player. I had to look that shit in the face.
Yeah.
Came down, started working insurance with my mother because my mother's in the health insurance business. And bro, I was doing that till I was like, I'd say 26, 27. And honestly, bro, that trajectory, I would have blown my fucking brains out.
Yeah.
And luckily, just around that time, a comedic icon from Miami came out. I don't know if you ever heard of Pepe Villete.
No.
So
no.
Pepe Villete, he was hot. He was really trendy about 10 years ago now.
Okay.
He's a ratchet Cuban puppet. No way. Literally.
That sounds hilarious.
Literally. And so, you know, 10 years ago, that was the beginning of YouTube. That was the beginning of content creation. IG only had 15-second videos.
Right, right.
What's this shit? What were the other apps, the platforms? That it was like Vine was hot.
Vine was 9 seconds.
Vine was hot. Fucking, I forget the
other. Snapchat
was popping. I mean, that's just still popping. But
yeah.
Either way, this Cuban ratchet, which is in honesty, like in my alter ego. That's why I connected to him so much. But his puppet, his persona is a guy that came through in Mariel, the Mario.
Okay.
The Cuban Exodus.
Yeah.
And he took on the character of just a fucking degenerate fuck that came from over there and says the most ridiculous, outlandish shit. And that's kind of like what I grew up around, bro. You know, I grew up in the shits. My parents got divorced when I was 11, so I didn't have a fucking father figure, and I was heavily influenced by, you know, my external, my immediate friends.
Right.
And they were all fucking delinquents. So that's what I was used to. I had degenerate fucking uncles and shit that spoke like this puppet that I'm referring to. So, bro, he ran the Twitter game back then, and I'm telling you that if I was paid, I was being paid to sell insurance, bro.
Yeah.
I tweeted more than I ever fucking sold insurance for the year and a half that guy came out. And I tweeted him so much, you know, that he got to a point where he's like, all right, and I'm a funny motherfucker. So he's like, yo, what's up, listen? The second that dude let me in, it was all a wrap. You know, I knew exactly what the fuck I wanted to do. And I kind of never looked back, bro. You know, my comedy career started with him. I was kind of like his sidekick.
Okay.
There's fucking, you know, there's so much footage.
Still with him? Like, are
you
still?
He's still around. He's just, he doesn't make as much content anymore.
Okay.
And it's a shame because he really is a staple down here. His name is Pepe Villete. But
he's still here in Miami?
He's still here. He's a puppet. He just performed with us, you know, for the Heat watch parties.
Okay.
We had Heat watch parties at the Improv. and he came out, you know, he did, he recently had a comedy show, but you know, I was his sidekick for a good 2-3 years, and then little by little, obviously, you know, you grow out of it, and I started doing my own thing, and it kind of grew into what it grew, bro. And he kind of like, again, he stopped making content and faded out. And I was honestly the only ratchet Cuban, and I kind of still am. A lot of people have caught on to the whole "binga, goya mierda." Yeah. A lot more people are using it now.
Okay,
but I'm the original.
You're the originator. Like, I mean, it's obvious too.
"Bebe Billete" is definitely the original, but I continue with the shit, and yeah. I'm currently, I was the only motherfucker that was doing shit like that.
When did you start like making content, like specific content? You know, for Instagram with, and YouTube with, and things like that.
With Pepe Villede. He, okay. Again, you know, he was the one that introduced me to the idea of skit comedy. And we started doing skits together. And I mean, one of the most beneficial things and pivotal things that happened in that time is that I got, even back then, I got deleted. my original.
So I wanted you to talk about this because, correct me if I'm wrong, you built a massive following and then they chopped you off or something.
The
right?
ones you're referring to are just in the last 2.5 years.
Oh, wow.
My original fucking account with Instagram, which had like 10,000, bro, but 10,000 followers 10 years ago was
a lot.
Astronomical.
Yeah.
They deleted that account. And because of that, you know, I fucking felt rape. It was like rape. I swear to God. Because of that, I made sure, like, I stayed away from Instagram for like 3 years, and I went and dedicated myself to learning Adobe Premiere editing.
Yeah.
I became raw with video production because I wanted, again, when they deleted that profile from me, I felt like, I have nothing to show forth.
Right.
They took the whole account away and I had nothing to show forth. So I made sure that whenever I did come back, if they ever did that to me again,
you had like a backup.
I had a fucking base.
Right.
And for the following, for the, you know, the subsequent 3 years, I learned video production, editing. I got a book of business. And when I got on my feet that way, then I started with the content again.
Okay.
And, you know, my first claim to fame content productions were Para Comer Tanta Mierda, which is kind of like my slogan. I make merch with Para Comer Tanta. Eating so much shit. And like, man, stop eating so much shit like that. That kind of, and what I do is I get like social issues and I kind of break them down, and I still, you know, things where people are kind of like, get the fuck out of here.
Right.
And I did a few of them. Look, I did Saul Bay. Para Comer Tanta Mierda, he's a fucking pussy. Yeah. You know, I've done Para Comer Tanta Mierda with the quarterbacks for the Dolphins.
That was funny.
Yeah. Do you ever see my What the Fuck News?
Yes. Yes.
So, you know, so I have various little skits that I've developed over the years, man. And having a foundation in video editing and the video production is kind of like what would allow me to separate myself from all the other fucking content creators down here.
And so where did the, because my favorite is the school teacher kind of like,
Cuban vocab lessons.
Cuban vocabulary lessons is... like, and it's funny because I'm telling you, I don't speak Spanish, and it's still, to me, it's hilarious. So it's the way you describe it.
For sure. So that whole skit, it came about because Cubans try to pronounce, and not Cubans, I mean, I think anybody that's not American tries to pronounce American words. I mean, for example, bite. You know what un bite is? It's a steak.
Okay.
Bite came from Spaniards trying to repeat beefsteak.
No way.
Bite. And it just became bite.
Right.
So, you know, given that we have the tendency to try to do that with words, I just capitalize and I break down for you, like Madonna. You know how ridiculous that sounds, and when you spell it out, and that whole skit is a fucking hit. I really capitalize on la banceridú, the reffiness of our culture, because goddamn, we're reffy, bro.
Yeah.
And the new Cubans, they butcher fucking words.
Really?
Oh yeah. I mean, but I think that's one thing about the Latin culture, that we're really good about laughing at ourselves.
Yeah.
Which is why that whole Latinx thing never worked out. That's another one. I did a para comer tanta mierda about that Latinx. You ever heard of Latinx?
No, what's that?
Well, good. Thank God for you. But Latinx is this thing that liberals have been trying to push, I'd say for like the last, I'd say a good 8 years now, where the whole, the gender, the gender binary thing. So instead of saying, since Latino,
oh my God,
is a male,
right,
a male derivative, they're saying, no, it's not going to be Latino. We're not, I'm not Latino anymore. I'm Latinx.
Oh my God.
And bro, I mean, it was just too easy because you will never find a fucking Hispanic that would ever refer to themselves as Latinx.
Of course not.
Unless all their fucking friends are little white liberals.
Right.
That's the only fucking way in the world you'll ever see a Hispanic say, oh, yeah, I'm Latinx. Get the fuck out of here. It sounds, number one, it sounds like a fucking porn website.
It does.
Latinx.
Yeah.
No one's ever going to refer to themselves as Latinx, bro. And on top of the fact, you know, and that's what I explained in my video, because I try to be somewhat informative as well. Spanish is a fucking romance language. It's inclusive of all fucking genders, no mm-hmm. matter what. Mm-hmm. So in other words, I could be un Latino, but I'm still un come mierda. You get me? So I can be one of each. It's inclusive of both fucking genders. So, you know, the liberals really lost that battle. Motherfuckers.
That's what I've never understood about the whole thing. It's like, we, you know, moderates or whatever you want to call us, like we're beyond inclusive. Like, we love everybody. Like, and it's like, why do we have to label everything?
Hey, listen, I was having this conversation on the way here. Cause I called my friend about it. No, it's one of the few friends I talk politics with. And I'm like, bro, listen, I know how to take it back. And he's like, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm like, I know how to take back the kids, bro. How to save the fucking kids. And it kind of hit me. And it was like, yo, homeschooling. And I know it sounds fucking crazy at first, but listen, this is the two places where liberals have a stronghold is education, social media,
mm-hmm.
and they had Hollywood.
And the news too.
And media.
Yeah. Media, schools. And you're right. Hollywood is starting though.
Hollywood's fading because of the demand.
Right.
Ever since all these platforms came.
I mean, you can watch a movie on your phone now.
So they're buying, like, you're able to make content that's conservative.
Yeah.
But education, it's ubiquitous. It's a liberal fucking institution. There's no chance, like, it's not even debatable. And I think that if, you know, in the next 20 to 30 years, it'll be like a 20 to 30 year process. But between AI kind of making school obsolete,
mm-hmm.
bro, if they don't have access to the children.
Are you familiar with Centner Academy?
Who?
Centner Academy?
No.
Oh, you should look into that.
Yeah?
So Centner Academy is like on the forefront of a new education.
A new kind of education.
A freedom education.
That's the next thing, bro.
Yeah.
I promise you.
And you're onto something.
That's going to be like the next revolution within society.
It's not just homeschool. It's not just like, I'm just going to teach my kids. It's building like these little tribes.
Absolutely.
And then us, like our communities, then teaching them at like homeschool, but in a place together.
Without a doubt, because again, if, and I was telling my friend, if you are going to go the route of homeschool, you have to be willing to go the country mile in terms of socializing the kid. Because if you homeschool a kid and you don't go out of your way to socialize them, you're not doing anyone any favors.
Yeah, because part of one thing that I feel like we learned during the pandemic or plandemic, whatever the hell you want to call it, was the importance of community, of how we need each other. Like, you know, all that isolation was, it was evil. Like, it was so obvious that, like, they want to stay in our apartments by ourselves. There's something weird about that. Like,
that shit, listen, I became a fucking, a nasty alcoholic drug addict, bro.
Oh, man.
The whole fucking time. Because, listen, I've always been open about, I go out there, and it goes back to our conversation. It sucks that we label people, because I live a more liberal lifestyle than I do a conservative lifestyle, mm-hmm. without a doubt.
Right.
I live more liberal, but I just don't want these fucking loons running our financial system and our educational system.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I live a more liberal lifestyle. But that fucking whole quarantine, it brought the worst out of people, bro. And I guarantee you that we're going to deal with the aftermath of that.
We haven't seen the worst of it
yet. We have not, bro, because a lot of addictions, you know, I was able to bounce back, thank God. But a lot of addictions were formed. A lot of market value was lost for families across the nation. We're still feeling it from that, 100%.
I mean, the suicide rate was insane during that time.
Without a doubt.
So it's interesting. We're like, during that time, we're kind of the exact opposite. So what happened with me is that I identified that. I said to myself, I said, most people are going to isolate, drink, drugs.
Nice, yeah.
And just binge. And like, so I said to myself, I'm not, as of right, like the day they shut us down, March 17th, 2020. I said, I'm not drinking. I'm not smoking. I'm not doing, and I'm also going carnivore. So I was like, I was like, I'm going to be locked in. And I actually did the opposite of most people. And I got in the best shape of my life. I was cold plunging like every day, you know, and all this stuff. And then I started negotiating like deals because I knew everybody would be scared and sleeping and you know, freaking out. So I started, this is why we're sitting in this room right now, is because I negotiated this August 2020.
It goes to show you know, what an advantage, bro, that you had the foresight for that, because I wasn't in the place of my life, bro. And all my Instagram shit was popping off. That's when I was going heavy on the politics. So I was, you know, I was in a real toxic place, bro. It's amazing that you had the foresight to see that.
And how are you doing now? Like how?
Bro, I bounced back. Thank God. You know, in all honesty, it was my career that ultimately, because for a while, bro, I swear to God, I was like, I was drinking every day, doing blow every day, partying every day. And that lasted for over a year. And I remember thinking various times throughout that year, all right, this is life, bro. Like, this is just what it's going to be the rest of my life.
Wow.
And I remember thinking, all right, well, you know, I can sustain this to like 70 maybe. And I remember thinking like that, bro. And at the end of the day, it was my career that bounced, that dragged me out of it, because when I do stand up, you know, I'll go sober, stone sober, no matter what. And I've been doing stand up now for about 5 years. And I'll just go stone sober for a good 5 to 7 days leading up to that shit.
Okay.
And the reason being, bro, because I've gotten banged up leading up to my shows. And I've had times where I draw blanks. And that is by far.
Oh, it's got to be humiliating.
Bro, I in my life, because I'm not that type, bro. I don't get embarrassed. I don't.
Right.
That shit, bro, it's like one of those where you just want the world to open up, dog, swallow me, get me the fuck out of here.
Stand up is hard,
bro. It's
like I've obviously never done it, but like hearing people describe it, and then just I've done public speaking before, but like trying to get a crowd to laugh, like it's intense.
Well, it's not, it's, you know, it goes so much deeper than that. You know, that's just on the surface,
right?
You got to try to feel out the fucking crowd, then you got to deal. If something doesn't hit when you think it's gonna hit, you gotta stay in character,
right?
And remember your fucking lines, because you know I write it out, I script it out, and I played around with being fucked up 2-3 days prior to one of my shows. I drew a blank and never again, bro. So
when was the moment where you said, because you said you did it for a year?
Yeah, well,
what was there a moment where you were like, man, I gotta stop this shit? Like, was
my comedy
there
show?
Okay.
When society opened up again,
yeah,
and I was able to throw a comedy show, I said, okay, get the fuck out of here. But you know, it's back to business.
Okay.
And those 5 days were kind of like what led to everything, because I fell back into the trap for, you know, I was cycling through that for months,
yeah,
trying to bounce out. But each and every time, it was always the fucking, it was always my career, bro. It was always every time I had a show, sobered up. And then, you know, that it compounded. And, you know, thank God, I've been a good 6-7 months now where I've been out of that trap.
Good. Yeah. Are you doing anything like for you, like health wise, outside of creative?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
are you working out?
I've lost a good 25-30 pounds in the last 4 months. Bro, I was up at like 295, 300.
Damn.
Yeah. I mean, I carry it good, dog. I'm thick down low, bro. But I've lost a good 25 pounds. I work out 4 or 5 times a week.
Good.
I'd say that I'm like 90% carnivore.
Okay.
Yeah, that's like fantastic. That's the fucking way to go. I mean, yeah. I love that shit.
No, it's
bro.
The best. It's the best.
I wake up fucking, you know, the majority of my meals is just eggs and beef.
Bro, that's all I eat. People ask me what I eat. I 8 to 12 eggs a day and 2 ribeye steaks, and every now and then I'll throw in bacon. That's it. That's all I eat. And then on the weekends, I might splurge with a burger.
So that's exactly what I'll eat 6 to 7 eggs a day, and I'll eat 2 fucking New York strips.
Love it.
Straight up. That's the way. Awesome. I mean, that's the way to go, bro.
And one of the things I'll tell you is, like, you're creative. So the better shape you can get in, I promise you, your creative is going to go crazy. Bro, you'll be thinking of things that
it's night and day. So I always knew, you know, like I always understood exactly what a good exercise routine and does for you, bro. Yeah. I've always been a former athlete.
Yeah.
Bro, trust me, I knew. But this is my fucking career. I was just figuring it out. I think I went like 6-7 years of just pure undisciplinedness where I never had that routine, bro. And now for the last 5-6 months is the first time in a while that I've had it, bro. And exactly to what you said, my creativity, the numbers speak for themselves. From the moment that, because I went January to May without drinking at all.
Okay.
Like I just went hard. 30,000 followers.
Amazing.
30,000 followers, because I was like at 25.
And you were probably more consistent.
Every fucking day. It was what allowed me kind of like to take control again, bro. Because at the end of the day, you know, and that's what you figure out. You really got to have your whole motherfucking day planned out.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like the core of success. If you don't know what the fuck you're going to do, if you don't have a vision for it, but
you can even have a vision, but if you don't have a plan
to
execute the vision, then usually fail.
Big facts.
And people that just like, I always say, what I say is that it's about living intentionally. So oftentimes I feel like people just kind of live, like they're just kind of like, oh, what's going to happen today? But when you plan your day, then even when you have to pivot, at least you have some like a base plan that you can work off of.
Without a doubt, bro. And And when I say plan, bro, I mean like I had to start from scratch. Like I would have to write down, because another thing is people don't understand how critical writing something down is. When you fucking write it now it's a real thing, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's almost like a commitment. And it got as basic for me as wake up, brush teeth.
I love it.
I swear to God, like you had to start getting to a point, and you got to go back and I missed all these, make sure, bam, 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 bam. And you know, bro, that's what creates the fucking discipline, which is what pushes you when the motivation is gone, bro.
Exactly. No, it's got to be discipline over motivation. I call it the check in the boxes.
Bro,
so you got all these boxes you're supposed to check daily. And what happens to a lot of times, if you don't check a box, you beat yourself up and then you just quit. Nah. If you don't check a box, check it the next day.
100%,
and then,
bro.
Try to check it the next day.
I came across a fucking a good meme the other day. It was kind of the same. It depicts that. It goes, everybody thinks that this is what success is, and it shows 8 full glasses. Consistency. And that's not consistency. Consistency is the glass full one day, almost full the other day, full again the next day, half the next day, full again the next day. You know, right. That's fucking consistency.
And it's also, so another analogy of that is you have to fill your cup up, then you have to empty it, fill it up again, and you have to empty it.
That's
so it's
one.
Constantly filling up your own cup so that you have something to pour out to others and to pour out into your own life.
I like that one.
You know?
I like that.
So I also say consistency compounds over time. So it's not about like turning on the faucet. It's about that slow drip every single day. And you'll get more out of life if you're just consistent daily than if you try to like do everything in one day. Because first of all, it's impossible.
Well, no.
But it's like,
and it's not
fitness,
sustainable.
It's not sustainable. And people do it with fitness all the time. They do it with diet all the time. They're like, I'm not going to eat for a week. You know, like, what is that? Or I'm going to work out for 3 hours a day. Like, stop. Have a plan. do it one day at a time. Consistency, consistency, consistency. It's the commitment, consistency, and discipline that add up.
Without a doubt. And another thing to add to that is, or what I've figured out, you have to be on the plus side when it comes to what you're doing good towards your fucking day. Because again, I say this because I got into the habit of, that's why I had to stop drinking, because I would drink Friday, Saturday, and it didn't matter how fucking ham I went Monday through fucking Wednesday or Thursday. The toxicity outweighed the fucking, the pluses.
Right, right.
And there was just no catching up to it. And that's what happened to me throughout those 5-6 years where, yeah, I thought I was doing something, bro, but at the end of the day, the scales, they were just leveling out, or if anything, in the negative.
And to your point, that's how a lot of people live their lives. They just get through the week, then they party their asses off Friday, Saturday, or sometimes Sunday, and then Monday through Thursday recovering. You know,
that's literally what
they
it
do
was.
It again.
It's literally what it was. That was the story of my life, and I had to make the productive days more
productive.
I have had to have more productive days than those fucking. Yeah. So now, you know, I went after those 4 months. I went stone sober while drinking. Fell back into this shit one fucking weekend.
Wait, so just while we're at it, like, what's your drink of choice?
Bro, I'm an alcoholic. I do vodka straight up.
So vodka straight.
Vodka straight.
Tito's?
Vodka neat, yeah.
Tito's
neat. That's, bro, I'm a gorilla with that shit.
Yeah, you look like somebody could throw down some alcohol.
Well, I'm telling you, and for me, that's another thing. I'll drink 25 doubles in a day.
What?
Yeah, easy, bro, easy. And listen, bro, the last 3-4 years, I get shit free. Like,
oh, of course, people are sending you stuff all the time.
This is shit that I was wishing for when I was in my 20s.
Right, exactly.
Of course, I get it in my fucking 30s, right? But I'll have 20 doubles, 25 doubles, and that's 3,000, 4,000 calories in vodka, bro. Oof. Empty fucking calories that you never get back.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can go the whole weekend without eating, but I'm still fucking surpassing all what I'm outputting.
Right.
So, I mean, people don't do the math with that shit.
Yeah,
man.
No. It's easy to get caught up into it.
And hard, bro, hard. Yeah. And
especially, like you said, in your world, like, because it's, you know, it's a fun.
Everybody's fucking chill. Yeah. And you know, I'm kind of open about the blow. So people see me and they think that I'm fucking coked out of my mind 24/7. Every, you see me, what the sack? You want the sack? No, I'm chilling today, dog. I'm good, bro.
Oh, no. But you're done with that?
I dabble, bro. Listen, I have no fucking, you know, I've never really said that I'm going to quit.
Right.
But that's really, the only thing I've ever fucked with is blowing fucking alcohol. Yeah. But again, I definitely don't do it as much as people think. I do it like once a month when I go out. Because now I've limited myself to drinking about once. Twice a month, maybe.
Okay.
Because it's just, again, and there's the thing. I go out, I drink, and it's the 2-3 day recovery, bro.
Yeah.
And then the bounce back from the recovery, in all honesty, it takes a week to get back in the night.
No, it's crazy. It's like the older you get to, because I'm in my, you know, mid-40s. So the older you get,
fucking
it's
guy,
even harder.
Mid-40s?
Yeah, I'm 40. Jeez. I turned 46 July, guy looks like July 18th.
35.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I look 28.
Bro.
But, you know, It's fitness, man. It's
hell
fitness.
Yeah, bro.
You know,
trust me.
And it's that routine. You know, like once you establish a routine, that becomes a habit. Then it turns into a ritual, and then it's just your lifestyle. Like it's just something I do. Like
100%.
You know, I always laugh when people do all these like challenges and stuff. I'm like my life is a challenge. Like that, you know. It's like it's a daily challenge.
Without a doubt, so, bro. That's the way to fucking go after it.
I wanna. What's next, man? Like, what's next for Marcos? Like, what do you have on the horizon? Have you written down where you see yourself in the future? Like, because to me, you know, I see, like, I feel like I have, like, an eye for talent, you know? And, like, bro, you're talented. Like, you're talented. So, you know, do you have a plan? Like, what's next for Marcos?
Yeah, man. So, in all honesty, like, maybe 2 months ago, I went through this thing because I was like, you know, I'm doing good. I'm getting my audience back because, you know, they cut me off right when I was peaking.
I remember that, yeah.
So, you know, now that I'm back and I got my audience back, I sat down the other day. I'm like, you know, what the fuck do I want to do? Do I want to take on this stand-up career? Which is, you know, it would be so fucking missioned out to try to grow. And then I kind of came to the conclusion, bro, that I wanna go back to my, when I learned how to do video production and I learned how to edit, my original intention, you know, I wanted to do the social media thing, awesome. But my original intention was to write like a series.
Okay.
Write like a fucking, a comedy sketch, you know, like a, number one, because I want it to pop off so I can hit a lick. Right. I need to make the money
for sure
so that I can make more shit happen.
Yeah.
And I think that my next, you know, I want to put together some money and write a show. I have the first, you know, I have the pilot written out.
Okay.
And it's I think it'll pop off. And like we were talking earlier, one of the main reasons that Hollywood has diluted is because of all these streaming platforms.
Right.
So
there's so many avenues that you could sell it to, or
the game is
somebody could starving. Pick it up.
Yeah. The game is starving for content, bro.
And also too, I mean, I don't know if you feel this way, but I feel like, I don't know. It feels like comedy's like in a weird place.
Well, cause there's a lot more comics now.
Yeah.
The game is a little saturated.
Yeah. And then I feel like too, like y'all have a hard time speaking your mind because everybody's so damn cancel culture that it's tough to even say anything funny anymore.
I will say
everybody's
this.
So damn sensitive. So
I will say this. Yes, it was like that. Once Biden got elected, it kind of became a free-for-all again.
Okay.
Like it's because again, what they don't want you to do is promote Trump.
Right. That's like basically the only thing.
You as long as you don't do that, you're fine. Just don't fucking promote Trump. We don't. He is, which is, in my opinion, all the more fucking reason to consider him an option if the establishment.
Oh, it's so obvious. It's so
doesn't
obvious.
Doesn't want the motherfucker in there. And this guy has zero fucking, you know, attachments to special interests. This guy isn't doing for the money. He's on his way out, bro. You know, this motherfucker, yeah, there is arrogance and there is egoism there, but motherfucker, it's necessary. Mm-hmm. You need that to be a fucking champ. You get what I'm saying? So the fact that these fucking people are going so out of their way to suppress Trump.
They're doing everything possible.
They're blowing possible. Up DeSantis.
Yeah, exactly.
They're trying to blow up DeSantis to spite fucking Trump.
It's crazy.
It's an insane fucking time right now. But either way, you know, to back to the point, ever since Biden got elected, it's loosened up, man. So, I've been able to talk my shit.
Okay.
And I've always used, like, for stand-up, for example.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I shit. Like, I'm able to go out there because, again, one thing about my stand-up, and I tried to structure it that way, is that I never wanted to be on the mission of going club to club to club selling myself, which is the real stand-up grind. But I kind of came from the background of social media and I kind of always put it together. Like, why would I fucking go on missions doing free club nights when I can build a following on mm-hmm. social media and just invite these motherfuckers to come out and see my comedy?
Right.
You get what I'm saying? So, bro, my comedy shows.
When do you do your stand-up?
My next comedy show is on July 19th and 20th.
Yeah, my birthday is July 18th, so I might have to
come through, yeah. Bro. It's going to be right there.
Down and where is it?
Casa Tiki, which is down the
street. I know where Casa Tiki is. Oh, you know what's up? Of course, yeah.
That's what's up.
The owner works out here, so Tony.
Angel?
Tony.
Oh, okay, yeah, he's the other fucking owner. That's right. Tony knows what's up. He fucks with me.
He's at Racket too, right?
Yeah. They own Racket and and they own Foxhole also.
Oh, that's right. Yep. Foxhole is great too.
Yeah. So those are gonna be my next two shows, and they get rowdy, bro. I don't start that show without chanting "fuck Joe Biden" all day.
That's hilarious. Awesome. Well, anything else you want to just, you know, throw out there? Like one thing that I like to do is, you know, just throwing out little gems. And I believe that you have a platform where young people are also watching you and like young comics and just like I truly believe that we all influence in our own ways. And especially with that's what, you know, influencer or whatever. And I think, you're doing something that is very unique, very authentic, but you're inspiring somewhere out there. I mean, you even like your material kind of like in a weird way, it inspires me because of your authenticity. I know it sounds strange, but it's
I know exactly what you mean,
bro. You know, it's like when I watch people doing what they were meant to do, and you kind of like, you're vulnerable. Like you're like, this is me. Like this is like, you were even very vulnerable today. And I love that. Like, I think people truly being who they are while they become a better version of that, that's what life's about, you know?
Absolutely, so. Bro. And you shouldn't feel weird about that, man. That, you know, I've always felt like being authentic kind of allows everybody else to feel like they can be real with me as well. And that's kind of like why I strive to be that way. But to your point, or, you know, whatever message I have is to whatever young motherfucker out there, whatever young male is up and coming or just trying to get past life or feels any kind of loss. Because when I was young, bro, I was lost. You couldn't give me $10 million to go back to being 20 with the knowledge that I had back then. You couldn't give me all the money in the world. I like exactly where I'm at because I finally feel like I'm where I'm have to be. I understand my surroundings and what I was missing, and my recommendation to any young male out there that feels that way, I would recommend that they go and find themselves a good male role model. It's what I was missing. You know, good male role models give you confidence and they allow you to see the world in a whole different light. And I didn't have that till I met this individual, Pepe Villeta, because, you know, the guy behind the whole thing is a fucking genius. You know, he was the first real father figure that I had. So I would say, you know, I could have been 10 years ahead if I had a real male role model in my life. So, you know, go out, find a motherfucker that you think is cool, make sure that he's a good person. And I would say, try to shadow him or do whatever you can to.
That's such good advice. And I think this generation like is missing the mentor concept. Like, you don't know it all, you know. Look, like at 20 something years old, you don't know shit.
Listen, that's like, it's directly linked, and I was a byproduct of it. It's directly linked to the fact that we are now the adults, the people becoming adults now, and the last two generations after and before that, a lot of the majority of them were raised by women. There was again, it's 50% of married couples get divorced.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So you're talking about a big wave of boys and young men that were raised by women. And, you know, it's not a knock on single mothers.
No, not at all. It has nothing to do with it.
You
do what you can,
you're fucking superheroes in your own light. But men, I mean, look, the statistics are there. I don't know if you knew this, but a child who's brought up without a father figure, a child who's raised by just the mother is 14 times more likely to commit rape, 20 times more likely to end up in prison.
Wow, I didn't know that. That's crazy.
Now, a child who's only raised with the father also has less chances of ending up in, the outcome is better. The outcome is better even when the mother's in the picture. It's better when it's just the father alone. And again, it's not a knock on mothers. It's just an emphasis on how much real men are missing in the development of our children.
We got to get back to real men and men acting like men, you know?
Real
men,
yeah. And not the fucking bullshit alpha stigma about, that's going.
Right. It's not about that. And actually,
men who want to provide and put shit on the line and be willing to work for it.
Yes,
that's what's necessary.
Agree.